السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد بارك وسلم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear friends, today is the final day of Rabiul Akhir. Inshallah, when the sun goes down, we enter into Jamadul Awwal or Jumadul Awwal. What I will do for today's discussion is discuss some Islamic history. I have this passion for Islamic history over the years of research. When I used to read kitab, I used to record in a book events that took place in a particular month. And I have, mashallah, a good compilation of many events. So what's of relevance for today's discussion is, in the month of Jamadul Awwal, which is beginning, inshallah, this evening, we learn in Islamic history that the Nikah of Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place with Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Those of us that were there at the Ijtima when the Nikah took place, on that occasion, Mawlana Yusuf Fazl Dawood Barakatuh gave a beautiful bayan, and one point he highlighted, ki only one action of ours will continue even in the Akhirah. Only one amal will also continue in the Akhirah. And what is that amal? That is the amal of Nikah. We are taught by Nabiyye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Akhirah will reunite couples, via Nikah once again. And thereafter they'll be required to go into Jannah. You know, one point of humor comes in between here on the issue of Nikah in the Akhirah. A couple of years back, Mufti A.K. Hussain, Damat Barakatuhum, gave a talk about Nikah will be maintained in the Akhirah as well. And he highlighted that very, very emphatically. So a few days later, Shabir, a lady phoned during Q&A, what they call it, marriage bliss or bliss of marriage. And I happened to be listening at that particular time. And what I found amusing was the following. The lady asked, she said, Mufti Sahab, the other day you mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unite the husband and the wife in the Akhirah. He said, yes, that's true. He said, Mufti Sahab, make dua ki Allah does not unite me with this husband of mine. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That says plenty. Which reminds me of something else. Many years ago, in the Transvaal, in Johannesburg, in Asia, you will recall, many of you will recall, in the 80s, we heard of this incident called fire in the grave. Just raise your hand, who recalls that? It was a Saturday morning, Mufti Bodiat, Damat Barakatuh, happened to go to the Kabrasan in Indonesia. And he experienced the following. I'll give very briefly and then get back to the topic. He says, I took my nephew with me and we entered the Kabrastan. Of course, the Kabrastan is very beautiful. Drive right in. He said, as I approached the grave that I was heading for, I noticed from the distance flames rising from a grave. I stopped my car, I got off, and I walked towards the grave that had these flames that were rising up. He said he was very frightened, very shaken. Allahu Akbar, Musalman Kabrastan. Flames are rising from the qabr. Of course, obviously Musalman. So what is the first thing we do in cases like that? We start making tilawat of Quran, which draws Allah's mercy. So Mufti Sahib says, I began reciting. I don't know what it is, but he starts reciting. And he came and stood by the grave and the flames began to subside slowly. He said, I continued. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing me something which normally is not seen by others. And of course there is wisdom behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing that. I'll get to that point also just now, inshallah. Aziz. The Mufti Sahib said, I stood there and I kept on reciting and made Isala Sahab to the marhum in the grave. I made note of the number, went to the authorities in charge and learned this grave is the grave of so and so. Mufti Sahib said, I inquired family address, he got that as well. And then he goes to the house, knocks at the door after formalities. There was an elderly woman that opened the door. And after formality, Mufti Sahib said, lady, look, I've come here, you know, for one reason. This is what I experienced there. So, something is terribly wrong. Right? What wrong did your husband do that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been punishing perhaps from the time that he was put there? And today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to me his condition. So I would like to know. So she explained, ke Mufti Sahib, my husband was a tyrant. You name the abuse, verbal, physical, mental, emotional, all that I suffered throughout our marriage. So Mufti Sahib dictated, ke perhaps that is the reason. Mufti Sahib then said, listen, today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me that perhaps the moment has come now for him to be forgiven and the azab ended. So I urge you, lady, please forgive your husband for all the atrocities he committed against you. My dear brother, listen carefully. The kind of torture that she endured throughout her marriage must have been so terrible. She said, Mufti Sahib, oh my dead body, I'll make him mad. It tells you a lot, isn't that so, Hussain? Subhanallah. Mufti Sahib says, I begged her and I pleaded with her. Until finally she agreed, she said, okay, I make imma. You saw the bottom line. So coming back to the original story, Allah's Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nikah is that amal that will continue in the akhirah as well. Now we go to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's 25 years old at that particular time. And there was a lady in Makkah, Muazzama, very prominent, highly respected by the entire fraternity of Makkah Muazzama, an absolutely beautiful woman, extremely rich, married twice previously. Both her husband left her plenty, mashallah. And she was in demand. And the best part of the demand was three things here. One was of course the beauty. Beauty is there and gone tomorrow, right? Aaja aur kal chala gaya. And wealth is also gone, but people look at that as well. And the hadith comes also, people marry because of many reasons. One of them is this, and two of them is that. But the third and most important quality she had was, she was a woman that was absolutely chaste and pure. That the people of Makkah Muazzama, a city that was, I use the term, infested with zina. Zina was the norm, day of life. That's something other time shall we discuss details. She was given the label of Tahira, the pure one by the people of Makkah Muazzama. Now that tells you a lot as well. So now she's a widow for the second time, and you know generally women don't engage in business, unlike our mothers and daughters and sisters today. Now she was on the lookout for a suitable agent that will trade on her behalf, take her trade goods, merchandise to Syria. And she looked around. And when we in a similar situation, what do? We ask, by you know of somebody, you know, I have this particular vacancy, I want this type of person. And if you know, then of course you recommend. So people said to her, there's only one man we can recommend to you. And that is Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, from the Banu Hashim family, a man that extremely honest, and extremely truthful, talking 25 years old, 15 years before Islam had started. Okay? So, she heard and she accepted the recommendation and she decided to call him and interview him herself. He came forward and the interview was very brief. Muhammad, I have heard about your reputation. This is the vacancy I have. I will pay you double the salary that a normal agent earns. Nabi accepted. Now she heard from people about his reputation. Now she must check him out herself. But how does she do that? It is said that she had a slave by the name of Maysara. a man that she trusted with her life. She said, Maysara, you will be the Khadim, the servant of Muhammad on this business journey. Okay? And you will keep your eyes and ears open. And when you return, you will give me full, like they say in the Jamaat Karguzar areas. Of course, long story short, when they return, Maysara, of course, everything was done. We skip all the other minor details. She questioned Maysara, okay, Maysara, tell me what we heard about him, is it exactly like that? And Maysara, mashallah, gave a glowing report. Among the things he mentioned, okay, Muhammad has this unique quality, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any item that was on display, if there was a fault, he showed the buyer. This was it, and this was the thing that in a short while brought a huge gathering of prospective buyers, and in no time everything was sold. Subhanallah. Okay? Now Khadija is very happy. She's been hounded by people of Makkah, rich people, reputable people, who want to take a hand in marriage, but she declined every proposal that came to her. She now decides, okay, if anybody is worthy of being my husband, is no one but Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now she is a woman. And we know women generally are not bold enough to make proposal. But you'll see something here, inshallah, Aziz. So she decides, you know, they say when the good thing in front of you, what must do? They grab it both hands. Nah? So she decides, if there's anybody worthy of being my husband, is this young man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But how do I approach him? I am his employer, he is my employee. You got that level difference there. What do I do? And here's a chance in front of me, like they say, you know, in the modern world, $64 million chance, we can't let it go by. But what does she do? Women are very intelligent, never disregard their intelligence, right? Because you and I know how they make us spin round their fingers, am I right? Bilkul sahi baat hai. Alright, let's go forward. So she decides to use one tactic. She called her best friend, her name was Nafisa. Said, Nafisa, do me one favor. There's the bottom line. You will approach Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam very tactfully with my proposal for marriage. No problem. Short while later, Nafisa meets Muhammad in the streets. Okay? And small chit chat, formalities, khalas, and then she puts forward. She said, Muhammad, you know you now in that age where you must get married. It's about time you got married. Don't you ever think about it? He said, yeah, I have been thinking about it. When he made that statement, what happened? She said, Muhammad, then I have the right woman for you. Who may that be? Why Khadija? When he heard Khadija's name, he was taken aback. Because he never imagined in his mind she'd ever approach him or he'll approach her. He was taken aback. So history says, Allah Nabi said to Nafisa, I tell you what, it's a good proposal, mashallah. I'm saying mashallah, right? I will discuss the matter with my elders in the family. See, we're learning things here. I won't comment. You just take it as it comes. I will discuss the matter with the elders in my family. They will decide. And whatever is the decision, I will accept. Who were the elders? Two most prominent people, among others. Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and Abu Talib, the one that was his original guardian. So now the elders sit down. And you know in our homes too similar thing happens. They sat down. Like they say in English, they weighed the pros and the cons. But there were no cons there, they were all pros. What were the pros? Let's compare the two. Muhammad comes from a good family, and so does Khadija. Theek hai? Muhammad is handsome, thick, and she's beautiful. Number three, most important, Muhammad is pure, and so is the only difference is the age. She is 40 and Muhammad is
25, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in that zamana, and even today, many circles, age doesn't matter. So they decided, put the age one side, in terms of these characteristics, they are perfect. Let us say in English, perfectly compatible. So Abu Talib made the decision with all the approval, and he sends a messenger to Khadija. Khadija, the proposal that you made in favor of Muhammad is now accepted by us. You set the nikah date and we shall be there. Now keep in mind, my friends, we're talking before Islam. Theek hai? And she set the date. Another one sabak here. Who sets the date, Riyaz? The lady. If someone brings proposal for our daughter, all said and done, accepted, etc. When we start finalizing the date, what do we do, Shabir? Who do we ask? We ask the young lady in question. You give us a suitable date, because that's a date, they say, Shab-e Barat take place, so Miraj can happen after that. Alright, let's move forward. So she set the date, and the entire Banu Hashim, the elders, together with Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they find themselves in the house of Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. I will suggest it was the lounge where they were all sitting. And after normal formalities, Abu Talib stands up. Now this is very, very interesting, my friends. Listen carefully. Abu Talib stands up and what we call nikah khutbah. A nikah khutbah was delivered by Abu Talib. In our nikah khutbah, we say, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu. All praise belongs to Allah and so on. Okay? Now, what this side? Abu Talib stands up. I'll give you a translation, okay? I don't have the Arabic text here. He says, all praise belongs to Allah. When we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also have to acknowledge the favors Allah has bestowed upon us. Am I right? Open Quran, you'll find in Surah Yusuf, towards the end. Yusuf alayhi salam making dua to Allah. Rabbi qad ataytani min al-mulk wa 'allamtani min ta'wil al-hadith fatir as-samawati wal-ard anta waliyyi fi ad-dunya wal-akhirah tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis-salihin. Right? He prays Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he calls out to him and he expresses the special favors Allah bestowed upon him, Yusuf alayhi salam. And then he makes a dua. So we find here Abu Talib is expressing the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he highlights the special favors Allah showered upon the Banu Hashim. So listen carefully. All praise belongs to Allah. But before I carry on, very important to make note of. What were the Quraysh and the Arab community? Mushrikeen. What's a mushrik? Who worships Allah and company. 360 idols in Makkah, am I right? Inside, outside, Baytullah. Most prominent, Lata and Uzza and so on. Yes, they worship them. And the only time I will suggest they took Allah's name was when they adorned their haram by saying, Labbaik Allahumma, Labbaik. I am present, O Allah, I am. So in Hajj time, Allah is there. Out of Hajj and haram, Allah don't exist. That's called mushrik. Allah and company. Now when it came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensured that anything connected to my beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be free from shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suggest, inspires and controls the tongue of Abu Talib that day. Okay, ya Abu Talib, not a word of shirk must be uttered from your lips whilst you are delivering the khutbah of nikah of my beloved Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he say? All praise belongs to Allah who made us the posterity of Ibrahim and Ismail. The whole world recognized Ibrahim and Ismail to be two of the greatest people in the historical past. And he's expressing his joy and pride. Ke Allah, we are grateful to you that you chose us to be among the children of Ibrahim and Ismail. All praise belongs to Allah who gave us this land of Makkah. Most sacred place in the world, number 9. And thirdly, all praise belongs to Allah who established us as the guardians and the custodians of the house Kaaba. Can you see that? And then he says the following. Muhammad, my nephew, admires Khadija. And so does Khadija admire him. So when the admiration on both sides, what happens, Shabir? You have to go forward, na? What they say in Urdu? That Mia Bibi Razi to Bulalo? What? Qazi? When the girl and boy are agreeable, make the nikah. So Abu Talib says, therefore, I, Abu Talib, unite them together as husband and wife. And what comes further, who said is more interesting. I further declare that whatever mahar is due on the part of my nephew in favor of Khadija, I take zimmedari. You learn something here, Hussein? Pre-Islamic nikah, what is there in front? Quickly, mahar. And I think we are the only people that are practicing this particular amal of mahar. Others got other things. But which is similar. But we are the only one. And we can see that this particular practice is prevalent even before Islam. Okay? It's quite normal, even today too. When a man gets his son married and the son doesn't have enough fulus for the marriage, who pays for it? Like I know in my case, Allah give jazakhir to my mother and father. They paid my marriage, mashallah. Allah give them jazakhir. Okay. So, then he mentioned the last statement. I further declare that by Allah, from today, Muhammad will enjoy seniority in our community. That ended the nikah khutbah delivered by Abu Talib. So, waqt ho gaya. Inshallah, we have to come back some other time and continue. I know if you found it interesting. So, but before I conclude, just for the record again, if anybody performs nikah in Jamaatul Awwal, what will it have in front of him? That my child's nikah is conforming in the same month of the nikah of Nabi-e Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and his beloved wife Khadija radiyallahu. And also we learn a second nikah of his took place also in the month of Jamaatul Awwal, and that was his nikah between himself and Safiya. Safiya was a Jewish lady, long story short. She was captured in Khaybar and she was distributed as a slave. And the owner of Safiya said, you know what, I'd rather be dead than be your slave. I'd rather be Muhammad's wife than yours. Now, when Nabi ka naam saamne aaya, that sahabi moved backwards. Allah's messenger, she was, okay, I will buy her from you. Allah Nabi bought her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and perform nikah with her also in the month of Jamadul Akhir. So bottom line, my dear friends, we learned in the beginning that treatment to our wives is very, very important, the kind of treatment we give. And we can see those unfortunate souls who torture their wives. Here's an example of what you can expect in the qabr as well. And in the case of that man, I declare that from the time he died till the time Mufti Sahib witnessed the fire, it was at that occasion that Allah had decided or decreed that today the azab of this man must come to an end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about the means to Mufti Sahib to see that, but of course, that is hukukul ibad. The Mufti Sahib must get to the house of the victim, oppressed victim, and ask for forgiveness in favor of this man, and mashallah it was done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my friends, give us the tawfiq to shower kindness towards our wives and our families. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from any kind of victimization, mental, emotional or physical abuse. Bi rahmatika ya rahimin. Walhamdulillah rabbil alamin.